left side.
Right. I'll just bring it up when we get to the funding part.
Come here. No, you know that.
Yeah, when she's okay.
Yes.
You see, you got it.
Good morning. Happy New Year. We will open our first meeting of the year by repeating the Lord's Prayer, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Only the agenda.
Well, you got a couple here, so I'm good.
We've all received a copy of... How many minutes we have, Robin?
December the 4th.
Minutes of December the 4th. Any corrections or additions?
Nope. So moved, Mr. President.
Second.
I have a motion, Mr. Jones, second by Mr. Rogers to approve the... Excuse me. Let's back up. Forget that. Approval of the agenda. You boys are easy to lead astray, aren't you?
Yep. Well, you're the leader.
See how easy you follow?
That's it.
Approval of the agenda. Any additions or corrections to the agenda?
Only thing I have, Mr. President, is number 7 on the funding.
Number 7 on the funding. Where?
We've got a letter from another organization that we're going to do all at one time next week. So if you could scratch number 7.
Delaware State Police?
Yes, and we'll put it back on the agenda. Dave has the information while we're seated.
I think I got... Okay, I've got one too, Mr. Baker.
Okay.
For one of the... cadets and Troop 5. So I've got the letter here somewhere. I will get it to you.
Yeah, and you'll they're branching out.
Yeah.
If you don't put them both together. It's in my stack somewhere. I'll find it.
Okay.
Before the day's over. We are deleting item number 7 under grants. And with that, we will have the ask for the approval of the agenda.
So moved.
First, Mr. Jones, seconded by Mr. Phillips to approve the agenda as amended. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Yes, motion is carried. The floor is now open for election of President of the County Council for year 2008.
As you
I'd like to nominate Finley B. Jones for President.
Second.
I have a motion by Mr. Rogers, seconded by Mr. Phillips to... nominate Mr. Finley B. Jones to President of the Council for year 2008. Mr. Cole.
Can I think about it a while?
Yeah, you can abstain if you want.
Don't think too hard. I don't want you to use any brain cells.
Mr. Dukes, let me look at it this way. Mr. Dukes' reign of terror is coming to an end.
Yes.
And now we're going into the dark ages with...
Yes.
I guess I'll vote yes.
Oh, behind.
It okay. pains me.
Thank you, Mr. Cole. Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Rogers.
Yes.
Mr. Jones.
Yes.
Yes, motion is carried. We'll entertain a motion for Vice President of the Council.
I make a motion we nominate Mr. Rogers.
Second.
I have a motion from Mr. Jones, second Mr. Phillips to nominate Mr. Lynn Rogers as Vice President of the Council for year 2008. Any questions on the motion being now, Mr. Cole?
Similar comments, but I'll vote yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yeah.
Mr. Rogers.
Yeah.
Mr. Jones.
Yes.
Yes, motion is carried. I think that's all of my time here. We can change seat to Mr. Jones and
I didn't touch anything.
Give you the gavel. Good luck.
Good luck. That's what we need, is luck.
We change the guard. I'm watching them.
I guess I'll turn it back over to Dave. Dave, you have the list of appointments.
Yes, we have a number of appointments for the year 2008. One is a representative on the Delaware League of Local Governments. Mr. Rogers currently serves there. Second is on the National Association of Counties Board of Directors. Mr. Jones serves in that capacity. And then to serve on the Sussex Conservation District Board of Directors, Mr. Jones currently serves.
You know, spell.
To serve on the Sussex County Airport Committee, Mr. Rogers is currently in that position. And then the Sussex County Pension Committee, Mr. Jones is currently in that position. And then to serve on the Sussex County Land Trust, Mr. Rogers and Mr. Phillips currently serve.
We can do it. I can assume we do a motion to approve all appointments, gentlemen.
I make the motion that we appoint the ones that Mr. Baker just read.
Second.
It moved in second that we appoint, reappoint everybody to their appointments for the year 2008. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr.
Yes.
Dukes?
Yes.
Yeah, I got to have a while to get Mr. Rogers.
Yes.
You said yes. Yes, motion passed.
Okay.
And rules of procedure.
Then we still have a few more.
Oh, you still got a few more? Okay.
The attorneys.
Oh, that's right.
Mr. James Griffin, of course, serves as county attorney now and as attorney for 2007. And Mr. Vince Robertson serves as the assistant county attorney and attorney for the Planning and Zoning Commission. So we could reappoint for 2008 if you'd like.
Mm-hmm. I'll make that motion, Mr. President.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that we appoint the attorneys as read by Mr. Baker. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes. Motion passed.
The next one is Mr. Richard Burl, Jr., who serves currently as assistant county attorney and as attorney for the Board of Adjustment.
I make the motion we appoint Mr. Burl to that position for 208.
It's been moved to second that we appoint Mr. Burr as Board of Adjustments attorney for 2008. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes. Motion passed.
Okay. And then finally, we currently have as assistant county attorney Rebecca Trefilis and Mr. David Hackett. And we would like to add to that list Mr. Michael Smith, who works with Mr. Griffin's firm, who is a young attorney who is helping us out on in various capacities as needed.
Rebecca's much better looking than any other one, that's for sure.
I'll make a motion we appoint those three to as assistant attorneys, or assistant counsel attorneys.
Second.
We move to second that we appoint the three names as stated by Mr. Baker for 2008 as assistant attorneys. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes. Motion passed.
And that's so don't forget them more. Just light up or something for you. I get hollering at you.
Anything else, Jay?
No, that's it.
Rules of procedure.
Okay.
Is that you or Mr. Griffin? Are you that?
Mr. Griffin. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we have, I think we've circulated in the package the rules of procedure that are currently in effect. And I know we do have several changes. One is regarding the section rule 2.2, which says regular business meetings shall convene at 10 a.m. on those days set forth in Exhibit A, et cetera. What we'd like to do is change that to regular business meetings shall convene on Tuesdays. And just leave it at that because we have evening meetings and morning meetings.
What section was that, Dave? Excuse me.
2.2.
Okay.
And then the second one is regarding section 8.3 that says now magnetic tape recordings will be made of all county council business meetings, etc. What we'd like to do is change that since we no longer use magnetic tape and to just say recordings will be made of all public county council meetings at which county business is transacted. The recordings shall be under the custody of the clerk of the county council and shall be open to inspection and copying in accordance with applicable law regarding access to public records. And then a related change on 9.1, the approved minutes of each, and we'd like to insert the word public meeting so that it's a little more explicit.
Okay.
So
changes?
We have basically three changes proposed to the rules of procedure.
Okay. Any questions, John?
And is this isn't anything like an ordinance, right? This is just policy.
Oh.
So it's not, if we got somebody couldn't challenge us on something like this, right, Jim? And
it's not an ordinance.
Yeah. Right.
something we try to play by the rules with.
Well, I mean, if we made a mistake, somebody can't point something we did in here and make a big deal about it.
Each, you know, municipal or governmental body is permitted to adopt their own rules of procedure.
Okay.
Motion, please, gentlemen.
So moved.
Second.
To move to second that we adopt the rules of procedure as amended. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Duke?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes, motion passed.
And then finally, as noted in the rules, where our rules don't cover certain issues, we refer to Mason's Manual of Legislative Procedures. So if you're in concurrence, then we would need a motion to adopt Mason's Manual of Legislative Procedures as the parliamentary rules of the Sussex County Council.
Motion, gentlemen.
So moved.
Second.
Been moved to second that we adopt the Mason rules as stated by Mr. Baker. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes, motion passed.
Thank you.
That's all. Gentlemen, you have a copy of the December 4th minutes as printed form. We're already almost past it once. So.
Yeah, I had a motion already on the floor a while ago. I'll make that motion.
Second. It's been moved to second that we approve the minutes on December 4th as printed. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes, motion passed. Correspondence, Jim?
We have roughly 29 letters from various organizations thanking council for human service grants and donations, and I'll just, rather than try to read all those letters, I'll read the names of the organizations. El Centro Cultural, Kinfolk, Delaware Housing Coalition, Southern Delaware Choral Society, Ridgeville Senior Center, Delaware Ecumenical Council, Laurel Community Foundation, Delaware Guidance Services, Sussex County, or Sussex Family YMCA, Wellness Community, Big Brothers and Sisters, Sussex Pregnancy Care Center, Milton Historical Society, the Alzheimer's Association, the ARC, KSI, La Esperanza, Salvation Army, Delaware Agricultural Museum, Sussex County Foster Parent Association, Hudson Health Services, Westside New Beginnings, Laurel Public Library, the Anointed Breadbasket Ministries, Delaware Nature Society, DCOA, Delaware Children of Alcoholics, Boys and Girls Club of Oak Orchard Riverdale, and the Lewis Canal Front Park.
Any other correspondence from any other council? Being none, Dave, you got the floor, okay. Man. We'll see how you weather this time.
The first item is regarding proposed legislation regarding special development tax districts, and I'm passing out some information that the first information you received before, and then the second is regarding various parameters. But just to review again, tax incremental financing is a means of financing for infrastructure by bonds that would be repaid by the county and by county taxes that would be foregone. There is, at this time, it's probably not practical for the county in most cases to use tax incremental financing because our taxes are low and not high enough in probably most cases to repay the bonds. But as part of that possible legislation, there is also an enabling legislation to be considered regarding special development tax district bonds, which would be revenue bonds, not general obligation bonds, sold to fund specific capital improvements within a predefined area or new development. The debt service would be repaid by a special tax over and above whatever the property tax is that would be charged within that development. If this enabling legislation was approved, then the county could establish parameters for the use of special development tax districts, and that's what I really wanted to talk about a little bit this morning. The the parameters that, there's three general ways of looking at this in terms of parameters. One would be to limit the funds to the total bond amount of off-site improvements. Another would be to limit the bond amount to the value of off-site improvements that are directly related to development. And then the third would be to look at it just strictly on a case-by-case basis. And if you go to the second page of that handout, I wanted to just go over a completely fictional possibility. And I just, we just drew these numbers out of a hat, so, and it's not a, this is not taken from any specific project. In this case, we have four columns. The first column shows off-site improvements, and in this example, for instance, we'll go stick with roads because that seems to be the big number here. Total off-site improvements if for a new development may be required by DLDOT, say $10 million of off-site improvements. Now, out of that $10 million, say only $2.5 million of that is directly related to the new development. And then in addition to that, the developer would be required to build roads within the development, say that's another $10 million. So the total improvements just for roads would be $20 million. And so we've got that laid out on the chart. And then there's some other infrastructure items that possibly could be considered in the same way. For instance, sewer, total offsite $3 million out of that. $2.5 million of that would be for oversizing and whatnot that would help others eventually, and then $500,000 would be off-site directly related to development, and then on-site $5 million, and so on. So what I wanted to show is in looking at these, the possibility of establishing parameters if the enabling legislation was approved. The total improvements in this case is $39.7 million, and that's listed on this page. And one, if we legally, without any kind of county parameters, in this example, there would be eligible for bond financing $25.8 million. And that reflects column C, which is on-site improvements, and column B, which is off-site improvements directly related to the development. But in this case, if we imposed a bond limit of a total value of the bond to the value of the off-site improvements, we would limit the bond amount to $17.7 million. So, you know, the money could be shifted around in terms of how it's actually spent within, as far as the bond itself, because some of the off-site improvements aren't technically eligible for the bond, but we would limit the value of the bond to the value of the off-site improvements, and that is that option one. If we looked at the option two, to limit the bond amount to off-site improvements directly related to development, in this case, that would only be $3.8 million, and it may not make the, it may not even make the bonds feasible. You know, it might not be worthwhile for the developer to even go through the process. And so, and then, of course, the other option is just look at this on a case-by-case basis. So we wanted to bring this to your attention as some ways and some parameters. And I talked to Les Guthorn, who is a public financial advisor, who was here a month or so ago when we talked about this before. And he suggested that if the enabling legislation was approved and you were interested, then we could work closely to refine this. You know, if you wanted to limit it to offsite, the value of the offsite improvements, we would, of course, be back, come to the council, ask the council for, set up some guidelines, give you some more specific ideas about it. So
I thought we had we've discussed this a number of times. We've had 2-3 workshops on it, and I thought our intention was to limit this to off-site improvements only. And I sort of feel like myself that on-site improvements should be a part of the cost of the project. But when state agencies require additional off-site improvements, that's where I think that we should allow them to have special, to sell bonds in order to pay for those improvements, because it's improvements that everybody in the whole county has access to, not only the people in that subdivision, but, and I know the answer because I've asked it two or three other times, there's no way to require the state could only require what the bond, what they could finance. I mean, if it has no offsite related directly to that subdivision, and they cannot finance it, you know, the state, there's no way of getting them to not request that. I mean, they can request it, even if it has no value to that subdivision. I mean, it's just something that the state wants done, an agency of the state. But I think if we're going to do this thing, we ought to get something done on it. We're going to have to get legislation drafted, and but I think we ought to bring this thing to a head one way or the other, and to decide if we're going to allow on-site or off-site improvements, and go from there.
Well, my observation, Dave, was when we had the little workshop on it, and we had these attorneys explaining, you know, different ways of doing all this. And they, one of them, I think, even bragged that he was writing most of this legislation. And when you see something this thick and this complicated and this confusing, it's going to be very difficult for laymen to go through this and figure out what the heck any of it means. And I'm just a little worried that it's set up basically. Don't take any offense to this, Jim. It's not directed at you. But the lawyers, you know, with all this bond and counseling and finance work and all the paperwork, it looks like it's just a method for them to you know, to come in with the wheelbarrows and walk out, you know, with them full. And also, I don't see enough new development now being able to set up these districts to generate enough money, whereas we have gone through 10 years of approving a lot of development, and a lot of it is been approved and has not been constructed. And I fall back to where a lot of communities have gone to the impact fee, which is so simple. There's no attorneys needed. Every time a new house is built, you collect an impact fee, and money will go towards whatever infrastructure improvements you want. And they're mostly off-site. You can tailor all that. But you don't have the complicated. This is the thickest legislation in our packet. And I'll tell you, every time you get one this thick, you ought to throw it in a trash can, because we cannot figure it out. And nobody will. And so the only guys who figured it out are, I think, again, the attorneys are going to make a killing off of this, because when the developers come in and start doing all this finance work and accounting and this and that, and we've seen it before every time we go out to the, you know, to get bond counsel and this counsel. So anyway, I just think that development seems to have done very well in this county. Our taxes are very low, and to put a special tax on just this small group here and another small group, I don't think I want to be part of a county government that's been bragging about our low taxes and how we don't like to bring in taxes and small government, everything else, than to start imposing some special taxes on some special people for off-site improvements that everybody in this county will be benefiting from. So I'd rather see everybody participate, you know, countywide, as stuff has been built all over this county, because the western side of the county now has got big developments, and a lot of these people will be escaping the cost of this infrastructure that's going to be needed to accommodate them. So I just don't see, you know, targeting these little pockets of people and helping the developers and then the attorneys to get the financing they needed. Then they start going belly up, and then we start trying to monitor all this stuff and follow all this stuff. It ain't going to work. So that's only my observation. I don't see why we need this in Sussex County at this point, because development seems to be doing fine without stuff like this.
Mr. Phillips?
Any comment?
I have to disagree. I don't believe we should be putting the burden created by the newcomers on longtime Sussex County residents. It seems that this program would direct the cost to those who are creating the new burden. And I think I heard that impact fees are not good because the county has to front the money, as opposed to this program, which would put the burden on the developer and ultimately on the residents of those communities who are creating the impact in this county. So I do believe this would be a good instrument for us to consider. And as I understand the legislation, this is simply enabling that would allow us to consider it in the future?
Yes, it is strictly an E1.
So I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, Mr.
In a follow-up to what Mr. Cole said about the slowdown of building and subdivisions, I agree to that, and I'm probably more associated with that than any other council members. However, part of the problem is just what I just described, and I won't mention names, but I heard of a subdivision that fairly good size that because of the off-site requirements have now said they're not going to do it. They cannot afford the millions of dollars that it's going to take for off-site improvements unless we get some kind of incentive or some kind of bond PIFs or so that they can fund it. I mean, it's having to come up with millions of dollars up front is just difficult, especially when the market that the real estate's in now. And I, like Mr. Phillips, it's enabling legislation and that's where my support would go.
Mr. Rogers?
I don't mind enabling legislation, but I got to agree with Mr. Cole that when you have a packet that thick, it can be nothing but confusing. I like something to be black and white, short to the point, and tell you what you can do. The market's flat at this time, as Mr. Baker alluded to, that it's a tool that we probably wouldn't be using right now.
And it only hits new development, gentlemen. It's not hitting the old-time residents that are building. It's all these new development. And Dale, the impact fee would be collected as these houses come, and the money would go into it for those off-site markets. So, I mean, you can structure it any way you want. No. There's different ways of doing it. Oh, no, that's true.
No, because I think if the school, the impact fee, if I'm not mistaken, the way we were explained to it at the last, when we talked about this, is the money has to be guaranteed by somebody, which would be probably up the county. And if it falls short of, if development doesn't develop as you projected it, then the money is still sitting in that kitty. Is that the way?
With the impact fee, it's pretty specific about what it can or cannot be used for.
But not usually if, you know, there's capital. Nothing in it about... If it falls short, Mr. Jones, that the county would step in and make up the difference. There's nowhere have I seen that. I don't know where you're getting that part from.
This is not the first time we visited this. Years ago.
You can structure it any way you you can structure it any way you want. If you're talking about some other, you know, type of impact fee, I don't know. It's got nothing to do with what we could do in the future and structure any way we want for off-site improvement. So,
right. Okay.
You're putting a negative spin on it, and we don't even have one in front of us.
I think. With this particular, with the bond issue, the county is basically out of the picture and is strictly between the developer and the only thing is we collect the money and make sure it's done. And if it falls short, then we're out of the picture. All right, gentlemen.
Mr. Jones, I'd like to make a motion that we ask Mr. Sammons, I presume he'd be the attorney, to draft legislation.
We actually have the legislation.
Okay.
But it's... it would be up to the council if you would like Mr. Godwin and myself to present this to the General Assembly and ask for the council.
Well, we better see it again. I mean, can we all see it again?
In that first...
It was in your packet last week.
Okay, that's it. That's the one the attorneys drew up.
Right. Right. Al Sammons drew it up, but it's who's the county's bond attorney.
This thick one. Is that the one we're talking about?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I'll make a motion that we authorize Mr. Baker and Mr. Godwin to present this to the General Assembly.
Okay. Second, gentlemen.
Second.
Moved and second that we ask Mr. Baker and Mr. Godwin to proceed with the special development tax district legislation. Excuse me. Mr. Cole.
Well, when the attorneys who benefit the most write up the legislation that we're adopting, I'm telling you, boys, you're going down the wrong path again, but you're good at it. So, no, my vote's no.
Okay.
God, no.
Mr. Phillips?
I support the concept of putting the burden on the folks who are creating the burden, and this legislation would give the county at least the flexibility of creating a process that would do that in the future. I vote yes.
Mr. Duke?
I agree, Mr. Phillips. My vote yes.
Mr. Rogers?
I vote no. It's confusing and premature.
All right.
Oh,
right off the get-go. That's cool. That's why you get that $1,000 a year, right? I got just one question for our vote. The county is in no way financially responsible for anything. Is that correct?
No, our response, these would be a revenue-type bond,
right?
Not a general obligation bond. Now, we would manage the collection of the money, and if there's a default and someone doesn't pay their fee, then the county would be responsible for collecting that fee. So, I mean, there is that management would bear responsibility. But if the bond is in general default and we couldn't collect the money for some reason, which we don't envision that happening, but if we couldn't, then the county would not be responsible.
Clarify managed collection. What do you mean? What do you mean by
that?
Well,
we would send the bill to that development, and then
which we do now, right? Which we would do if it'd be just like a regular bill, like your property tax bill.
If you know, we'd try to maybe we could incorporate it in the tax bill and send the bill each year so that they, and to the individuals within the development, they would pay the county. We would put the money in the special account to repay the bonds, and if someone was delinquent, then the county would be responsible for
the collection.
Collection.
Okay. My vote is yes.
Thank you.
The dark ages.
The next one is...
I just want to make sure you understood what you said with your comments in the beginning. That the dark ages.
The dark ages.
I appreciate your comments. Mr. Baker.
The next bill for your consideration is regarding private road standards. And Mr. Izzo and Mr. Tom Baker are here today. We're very familiar with this. Mr. Griffin has reviewed it also. This is House Bill 280 that may come up in at a committee meeting tomorrow, which would require roads within new subdivisions to be designed to state standards. Now, currently, a developer has the option of building roads to county or state standards, and the county standards at right now are a little less stringent. Representative Hocker asked for county input regarding possible amendments to this bill, and Mr. Izzo, Mr. Tom Baker, and Mr. Griffin and myself have tried to come up with a list, and I've got that attached to the bill, the original bill itself, and it's in the form of an email from Mr. Griffin that we are pretty much in concurrence with. The bill itself applies to any and all private roads. And what we suggest is that subdivisions of 15 lots or less would be exempt from the state road construction specs, and we would be governed by county law and regulations because of the burden of cost for very small, minor subdivisions and very small projects. For subdivisions of 16 or more lots, the following would be applicable. The county, Sussex County, would be authorized. These are our suggested amendments to the bill. Sussex County would be authorized to establish the administrative process, including bonding requirements, because we have a concern about the state bonding requirements. Ours are greater than the state's, and we want to be sure that they're in place. And adopt and collect fees for plan reviews and construction inspections for new roads or streets. And then B, Sussex County would be directed and authorized to collect all plan reviews and construction inspections. Mr. Baker's office has the staff now. They are used to doing this work. And it's our understanding that the Department of Transportation doesn't really have the staff to do this at this time. So we are recommending that would stay in, so the county would, even though if the bill was passed, the county would be still required to do the plan review and inspections. Where no existing state standard applies, the county would be authorized to establish standards that further regulate the construction of subdivision streets and roads as not in conflict with state requirements and do not lessen the quality of streets and roads in any subdivision. So again, we could expand upon the state specifications and requirements if we wanted to do so in the future. So I don't know if Mr. Izzo or Mr. Baker would like to make any comments about this.
My understanding, Kent and Newcastle County, they are already doing this?
Yes.
They're already, yes, they are.
So we're basically, it's going to be a statewide ordinance now as opposed to just those two.
We're trying to create an exception for Sussex County because in Newcastle and Kent, all private roads already must be built to state specs.
Every road.
So you're trying to create an exception here for 15 or fewer lots. And for 16 or greater, we're trying to make certain that the county can have a plan review process and a construction inspection process and collect fees for doing that work. As the bill was written, it said that the state would not conduct the inspection, but it didn't authorize the county to collect any fees for doing it. So we wanted to make it very clear that if they're placing the burden of plan review and inspection on the county, that we're able to collect our normal fees for doing it.
Instead of being unfunded mandate.
So we're going to be out there inspecting that these roads in private subdivision are built to state standards. The county's going to be inspecting that and certifying that?
Yes. Yes, but we'd be collecting a fee for doing that. And for in subdivisions where there were 16 or greater lots, the specifications or standards that our inspectors would be enforcing would be the state standard.
Yeah, we're collecting on all our inspections on whether it's 15 lots or 14 lots or yes. 25 lots, right? Yes. So we're collecting on
We want to be able to continue to do that.
We're just bringing the standards up on anything over 15 lots. And then why did we pick 15? Is there a magic number? Is that something that shows up a lot? Or
no, I don't think it was. Trying to determine what a smaller project is. Maybe. It wasn't.
There's a lot of 15 or less little parcels, you know, around nowadays.
We just thought there were some mom-and-pop subdivisions, right, and it would put an unreasonable burden on them to develop their property.
Is there that much of a difference in cost from state to from county right now to state?
It's not exactly clear. Until we actually get into some plan reviews and see the impacts, I do think costs will go up some.
The answer is yes.
Yeah.
But do I know
now, it's also not now. It could go in the future. And so, I think some of the state standards, frankly, are not practical for private development, but we can work around those. And also, there, you know, with multifamily development, now we're seeing commercial mixed in with development. I don't think the state standards are necessarily set up for that type of development. So we needed the flexibility. That's why we put the language in there that we could establish some standards that are above and beyond the state standard and clear.
Over the years, haven't you talked about even improving, bringing up our county standards aren't quite, because we get a lot of complaints after the developers and trucks have been over them a little bit, they're falling apart.
It's more, I think we need to modernize to match the nature of development as it's taking place today.
All right, because
isn't a big, you done, George?
Yeah, I'm done. Yeah, I was just going to say 15 people that live in 15 lot new houses complain as much as people who live in, you know, 100.
Just that, you know, it used to be, you know, single family houses on half acre lots, and, you know, the nature of development has changed. You have the national home builders, and they build in a different way than, you know, a local Sussex County developer did 15 years ago. And we felt like we needed to change our standards, and we'll now have to incorporate the state standards into that process.
That's all.
Question is this, I know Tom was in here earlier about a policy change, and this is what this is basically. But will this be holding a bond over someone's head for a year that's got something real small, or like we talked about campsites before, are they going to be under the same standards?
Yeah, I'm not clear how, you know, again, we didn't write the state legislation, and, you know, when they write this wording, it sometimes it's very broad,
right.
And I frankly hadn't thought about campsites and whether that's comes into this legislation. Is it a subdivision? I guess I'd have to ask Lawrence, does a campsite qualify as a subdivision? And I think that's what this language addresses. So if that's true, then the campsites wouldn't fall under the legislation.
If that's true.
Didn't this come about because of some problems in Newcastle County?
I think some of the... Go ahead, Jim.
Synopsis of the bill indicates somewhat what they're shooting for, because it says that roads which are constructed to lower standards must be reconstructed and improved at the expense of homeowners before they can be dedicated to public use. So they're trying to cut down the possibility of subdivisions using that Suburban Community Lien Act to bring their roads up to state standards and then trying to turn them over to state for continued maintenance, because that bond is spread out over 30 years and collected from all the people who own lots in that subdivision. I'm probably legislators were getting complaints from people who are having to foot the bill.
Especially after a subdivision, Dale's been like 20 years old, those county roads we used to approve are not just holding up, and now the homeowners...
Well, after 20 years, I hope they break down. I mean, they're not built for 20 years.
But a state-maintained road is.
I don't think so.
Say that again.
Because only does not in the subdivision. I mean, George, I have to disagree on that.
I like to take you for a ride, Mr. Cole, on some of the state-maintained roads if you think they're improved.
Well, they just do that shoddy work on your side of the county. Ours are pretty good.
But nobody, I mean, I think that the problem is Newcastle County only acquires 30% or something like that of the cost for the roads up there, and we require 125%. So that if a developer walks away, we've got enough money to complete the project, where in Newcastle County, I don't think they do. And that was in the paper a couple months ago, because this development was supposed to be built to state standards, but the developer walked away, and they recalled the bond, but didn't have enough money to finish it. So I think that's why that they were upset, because that they were having to go back in and finish the project and didn't have enough money to do it. Who's going to pay for it? Well, that's not Sussex County's fault. That's their fault for not having the bond high enough to begin with.
So I think DLDOT's bonding requirement's only 10%, isn't it, Tom?
Yeah.
How about just raising our standards then? Why don't we just bring ours up and forget this and tell the state?
We actually had money in our budget this year to do that.
I agree, because I think, go ahead, Mike. I'm sorry.
We actually had requested money in Tom's budget to update our guidelines, and that's the track we were moving forward, and we were going to bring a contract amendment with to council in probably by the end of this month, had this not popped up, for us to upgrade our standards. But again, we haven't proposed.
I think that's the problem. The legislators see they're getting the complaints, and if we just brought our standards up, that would to maybe what the state is or just close to it. I think that you'd
if
see
it's
a lot
just
of
the pavement section,
right,
it's easy. You know, if they're just concerned about the pavement section, that's easily done.
Right.
No, they probably they want the shoulders, the drainage, they want everything.
Woo. Yeah.
You wait.
Well, if you increase your standards to the state standards, then you don't need us to draft a bill.
No,
right. Mr. Hawker.
But we do need input for amendments in case this bill moves on. I guess the concern would
are
be
they,
that if they,
being
if
they go back in session today, you think this thing's going to be right on top of the list?
I was told it's a high
I can't
priority
believe it. All the problems we got in the state, they're going to worry about roads and subdivisions.
They might do the easy stuff first.
But what I would like is if your consensus on the amendments.
I think they're good, and I think you could also add, maybe if there is a consensus with us, that maybe we'll just raise our standards, and maybe a letter to Mr. Hawker
that
would say that if this is considered, we would like these amendments. But we have taken a position the council has, it says, is to have Mr. Rizzo raise our standards and that we still keep it in-house. In other words, we just do like we were, but bring our standards up.
Well, you could build into the exceptions the a time period by which your standards would be consistent with theirs.
Or something, whatever. Like I said, maybe that's the approach to take.
I don't think we say standards are ours. I think we should let our engineering department come back to us, because, I think, and I'm just going to make a couple of things here. The three sponsors that we have all come from the coastal area on this thing, and I think they're getting, because they have that $200,000 a year in their fund, they're getting bombarded because nobody wants the straight suburban, that we have a mechanism for them to rebuild their roads, and for the subdivision, which has homeowners associations, all these things that are their responsibility, that they're supposed to be taking care of, they want somebody. Number two thing is the state can't maintain roads we have, let alone the plowing and all the other things these people think they're going to get.
They're not going to get.
And they're not going to. It's going to. It's a snow job, for lack of a better job.
One thing to keep in mind is that even if roads are built to state specs, there's no guarantee that LDOT's going to take over the long-term maintenance. The money's not in their budget to do it.
They perceive that, though.
What they're
the
trying
people
to do,
are yeah, perceiving
what they're trying
that they're
to
going
do
to get
is
that.
To get a road that's going to last longer.
Right, but Jim, I think a lot of these subdivisions don't want the state to take over because then I would think, isn't there that proviso that they have to open them up to
public use?
Yeah, how could, like, along the beach there where they have all those gated communities, if they raised, had state standards and state maintenance,
but they want somebody
roads,
else to foot
those
the bill.
Gates would have
they
to be
want
open,
somebody
I would
else
think.
To foot the bill for it. Though.
Pardon?
They want somebody.
Oh, I know.
If
no,
they're
no,
using
I,
public money, which they're using, the state legislators are using, they want.
Yeah,
the
I don't like
fixed.
That program.
I don't either.
That's why I say maybe we could raise our standards and just leave it.
Okay, let's bring this to a head. Do we? I mean, do we, gentlemen? We have some suggestions.
Pardon?
Make a motion.
Make a motion.
Upgrade County.
Upgrade, okay, yeah. I would say we make a motion. We correspond with Mr. Hocker to that we, if this bill is considered, we would like these amendments, to be considered or included, and also that if that at this point the consensus of the county council is to have engineering department bring our standards up at the county level to complement the state standards. And therefore, the bill would not be necessary. So I would just say some kind of correspondence at this point. Would that be the motion?
All right.
Second. Yep.
Okay.
I'm fine with it.
Any questions, gentlemen?
I don't know that that's going to get anything. That's not going to get anything done. Then, if you want exceptions, we have to draft a substitute bill. If you don't think exceptions are necessary,
tell them to leave it on the back burner for a couple months, and then they're not going to tell them they're still working on last year's budget. They still got some money left.
Mr. Jones just took office today, and he hasn't had time to put it on the back burner yet.
Absolutely.
Could we provide your language, Mr. Griffin, to the attorneys that work for the General Assembly and ask them to?
We could tell them that if the bill goes forward in its present posture, that we request those exceptions be built into it.
Right.
Okay.
That's what I meant by my motion.
At least if it gets adopted.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
But I think we also inform them that we will raise our standards. We think that's the most appropriate way to deal with this problem.
Okay. Any other questions, Jim? Everybody cool on that? Okay. We move to the second that we take the suggestions of the engineering department as discussed today and move forward on this House Bill 280. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes. Motion passed.
Thank you. And then the last item I have is the administrator's report.